you love good music that stirs your soul, you've come to the right place. We call this place Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. This is DJ Rick, bringing you just a little bit of my favorite soul, funk, and R&B music. I'm glad you can join me. Many people think that Aretha Franklin was an overnight sensation when she released 6 smash hits and 3 great albums on Atlantic Records in 1967. She did, indeed, take the whole world by storm that year with songs like Respect and I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. To tell you the truth, that was my first awareness of the great Aretha Franklin, too. But Aretha did not arrive suddenly and fully formed, like the goddess Athena leaping from the forehead of her father Zeus when she started at Atlantic Records. In fact, she was already a gospel music star, starting her recording career at age 14, and she had also previously recorded 9 albums on Columbia Records. This program is called Aretha on Columbia. There's a lot of great singing by Aretha that you may not have heard played on the radio. But we're going to start with this classic song by Dinah Washington.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours bought the sun and the flowers. Yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm a part of you, dear. My lonely nights are through, dear. Since you said you were mine. A day makes. There's a rainbow before me. Skies above can't be stormy. Since that moment of on your menu, what a difference a day made, and the difference is you.
That was What a Difference a Day Makes by Dinah Washington, which I played first for a reason. The key to understanding the songs Aretha Franklin released on Columbia Records is to understand the concept of trying to cross over. Dinah Washington was probably the most popular black female singer of her time. In the period from 1944 to 1958, she had 40 songs that were hits on the R&B charts. She was known as the Queen of the Jukebox. She was equally capable of singing blues, jazz, and R&B songs. But she had not had much success crossing over, with only 3 of her songs charting on the pop charts. The song you just heard won her a Grammy for Best R&B Performance in 1959. It was her only Grammy in her career. But it was not really an R&B song, it was a pop song, and an old one at that, dating back to 1934. With an arrangement for strings and wordless background vocals that was similar to other pop songs in the 1950s era. What changed with What a Difference a Day Makes was the song went to number 8 on the pop chart in 1959. From that time forward, all of her records crossed over and charted on both the R&B and pop charts. Dinah had effectively moved from selling most of her records to African Americans only to crossing over and becoming a huge star who could sell to the whole spectrum of audiences. And that was where the real money was to be found. Let's listen to Aretha Franklin.
Without a word of warning, the blues walked in this morning and circled around my lonely room. I didn't know why I had that sad and lonely feeling until my baby called and said, we're through. Yesterday, this time I sang a love song, but today I'm singing the blues. It strikes me kind of funny how love can be this way. I'm alone again today, and it strikes me kind of funny how fate can be unfair. Must be written for me that I should be the one to always lose. For yesterday, yesterday, this time I'll sing a love song.
That was Today I Sing the Blues, released in October of 1960, when Aretha was just 18 years old. It was produced by John Hammond for Columbia Records. Aretha's father, the Reverend C.L. Franklin, was an ambitious man, both for himself and for his obviously talented daughter. He arranged to have Aretha cut a demo single in Detroit using a jazz bassist named Major Hawley, who had backed many jazz greats in the studio. The first demo was Today I Sing the Blues. John Hammond was born in New York into the great wealth of the Vanderbilt family. He was able to afford a bohemian lifestyle in Greenwich Village, where he became involved in producing concerts and jazz radio programs, which later led to a position with Columbia Records as a talent scout and a producer. Because Hammond had always been interested in producing African-American artists, including Billie Holiday, he was targeted as a potential producer for young Aretha. Major Hawley arranged to get the demo of Today I Sing the Blues to John Hammond, and after hearing it, Hammond immediately signed Aretha to Columbia Records. The song you've just heard was Aretha's first single on Columbia. As a single, it reached number 10 on the R&B chart, but it did not chart at all on the pop chart. It was later released on the album Aretha with the Ray Bryant Combo, which did not chart at all. Clearly, the style of the song was not what white audiences wanted to hear in 1960. But it certainly shows her gospel training and her amazingly mature voice. Gospel music authority Anthony Heilbutt described first hearing Aretha singing Today I Sing the Blues as hearing a voice that was thrillingly clear, combining the beauty of her two favorite singers, Clara Ward and Judy Garland. After an appearance at the Hallow Jazz Venue, the Village Vanguard, in 1961, the owner, Max Gordon, told jazz vocalist Carmen McRae that Aretha was going to be the next Dinah Washington. After listening to a performance, Carmen McRae said it was clear that Aretha had the vocal chops, but had terrible taste in her musical choices and needed to figure out which direction she wanted to go.
Bass. And if I get sassy, be a man who dares to shut me up and kiss me so I know he cares. I want a man. Don't want a me, daddy. I want a boss. I want a me, sweet daddy, who's a devil when he's cross. He's got to spit fire, shoe iron, get mad and start roaring like a mountain lion. Then whisper that he loves me so I know he's mine. He's got to be sweet and gentle day and night, but mean enough to make me wanna treat him right. I want a man. Cream puff, baby.
That was Rough Lover, recorded and released as a single in 1961. I think the song is terrible, both for its upsetting lyrics and its crazy musical style. At best, it is a failed attempt to break free from being the shy preacher's daughter who could only sing gospel music. In 1961, Aretha was only 19 years old, but she married Ted White, who was 12 years older than her. Ted White was a tough guy, a Detroit hustler and pimp, but an urbane and handsome man with natty clothes. Ted White became Aretha's manager as well as her husband. He may have inspired the lyrics of Rough Lover, since he was physically abusive to Aretha during their marriage. Now for something completely different.
When I go for a walk, I meet old friends we knew. We sit around and talk. Then they ask about you. What's the good if I say that you and I are through? I simply tell them you're okay. When they ask about you, they wonder. wonder where we've been and why we failed to call. And I take it on the chin. Stepping on my heart.
Stepping on my heart.
When they ask about you, they're stepping on and walking on my heart. Oh, when they ask about
you just heard When They Ask About You, recorded in 1961. The song was not released, either as a single or an album cut. I found it on a compilation of early songs by Aretha that was curated by British music expert David Nathan and released by Kent Records in London in 2009. I think that When They Ask About You is one of the earliest examples of Aretha's very soulful vocal style crossed with the Columbia Records style of musical arrangement. My first awareness of many of the songs I've selected for this radio program came in the late 1970s. As I have done often, I was looking through stacks of records in a thrift shop, and I found something, a record called In the Beginning, The World of Aretha Franklin, 1960 to 1967. No album cover, no sleeve, just one naked vinyl record, one side labeled Side 1, the other labeled Side 4. In my funky apartment in Tacoma, in a building that was soon to be labeled unsafe for occupancy, I played that album again and again and again. I still have it. You can probably sing along with the next song.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. For the Bible says, and it still is news, Mama may have, Papa may have, God bless the child that's got his own. More while the weak ones fade, empty pockets don't ever make the grain. No, no, Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless a child that can stand up anywhere. Got my own. When you got money, you got lots of friends crowded around the door, and when that money's gone and all of us relations will give you crust of bread and such. God bless a child. It's always a child that can say, I've got my own. Oh, I've got my own.
That was Aretha's version of God Bless the Child. God Bless the Child was co-written and most famously sung by Billie Holiday and released in 1942, and over the years had been covered many times. Aretha's rendition was arranged by producer Robert Mercy for Columbia Records in 1962. Robert Mercy had worked at Columbia Records for years. Aretha's vocal is beautiful, smooth, and powerful, but the orchestral arrangement, including a swelling string section, makes it more like a pop song, very much like other pop hits on Columbia Records in that era by such artists as Andy Williams, Barbra Streisand, and Patti Page.
Women do get weary wearing the same shabby dress, but to one who's weary, try a little tenderness. Oh, just anticipating all of the things I may never possess. But while I'm waiting, try a little tenderness. Just a good word, soft and gentle, makes it easier to bear.
That was Aretha Franklin's 1962 version of Try a Little Tenderness, originally recorded in 1932, a song 10 years older than even God Bless the Child. It's a great song, and she sings it well. But for a young singer trying to break through into the crossover market, it seems an unlikely choice. It did not chart at all. The song was later covered and reinvented and became a major hit by Otis Redding in 1966. Next up is a song written by Aretha.
What is romance without the one you love? It's heartbreak and misery without the one you love. You fool yourself and say that I'll forget him, and knowing all the time that it's not so. You play the lonely role of Pagliacci, crying on the inside and hurting that much more. Life can seem so cruel without that one you love. You're like a dying rose in summer without the one you love. One telephone call, one line or so, could mean a world of difference. How much you'll never know. But life can seem so lonely, so lonely without the one you love. Oh, one telephone call, one line, write me one line or so, could mean a world of difference. Just how much you never know. So lonely without the one you love. Lonely without the one you love.
You just heard the lovely song Without the One You Love, written by Aretha Franklin. In fact, it was one of the first songs she ever wrote. She also played piano on the cut. It appeared on The Tender, The Moving, The Swinging Aretha Franklin, her second album on Columbia. This is DJ Rick. You are listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, on Vashon Island, Washington, and streaming worldwide at voiceofvashon.org. Aretha Franklin was born in the South in Memphis, Tennessee in 1942 to the Reverend C.L. Franklin and his wife Barbara Singers Franklin. But when she was a two-year-old, the Franklin family moved to the North, first to Buffalo, New York, and then in 1946 to Detroit when she was four. Her father was recruited to be the main pastor at the New Bethel Baptist Church with a long history in Detroit. It was a spiritually and politically influential church, and Reverend Franklin's stirring sermons caused tremendous growth. The church grew to seat 2,500 and later 4,500 people and filled the pews multiple times each week. The Reverend Franklin was a powerful and influential man who built a national and even international reputation as the preacher with the million-dollar voice. You can still listen to his sermons, such as The Eagle Stirs Her Nest and The Old Ship of Zion, on YouTube. But the parsonage house provided by the New Bethel Church was large and well-furnished. The atmosphere in the Franklin home was not a strictly conservative place and often hosted large parties. The guests at those parties would include great gospel musicians such as Clara Ward, Marion Williams, and Mahalia Jackson, but also secular musicians such as Giants Art Tatum, Ella Fitzgerald, Duke Ellington, Billy Eckstein, and Sam Cooke, Lou Rawls, and Dinah Washington. Aretha had first seen her future husband, Ted White, in 1954, at a party at the Franklin home in Detroit when she was a precocious 12-year-old. According to Aretha's biographer, David Ritz, that night she saw Ted White scoop up and carry off an inebriated Dinah Washington. Let's check out Aretha's version of Skylark. Thank you.
Have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skyla, have you seen a valley green with spring? Where my heart can go journeying over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane, and in your lonely flight, oh, haven't you heard music in the night, wonderful music, as faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as blue, sad as a gypsy, serenading the moon. And find these things. Oh, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me?
Skylark is a song written by Johnny Mercer and Hoagy Carmichael. It was first recorded by Anita O'Day in 1941 and has been recorded by so many artists that it is considered a standard of American popular song. Before Aretha recorded it and released it in 1963, it was recorded by Bing Crosby, Glenn Miller's orchestra, Billy Eckstine, and Bobby Darin. Aretha's vocals on the song are great, and she really lets loose when she jumps up an octave and gives it full-throated gospel fervor for a moment. Etta James said that Aretha's version of Skylark was done at a time when, we quote, we were all looking to cross over by singing standards, and pointed out that she sang Sunday Kind of Love, and Sam Cooke was doing Tennessee Waltz and When I Fall in Love at his live gig at the Copacabana. But the song was older than she was when she sang it, and the arrangement by Robert Mercy is very much a cliche with the 50s-style string arrangements. It was not a hit single, and the album on which it appeared, Laughing on the Outside, was not either. On Sunday, June 23, 1963, 10 days after Aretha finished recording her Laughing on the Outside album, 100,000 people, or so others estimated it was more like 200,000, took to the streets for the Detroit March for Civil Rights. The march was led by Reverend Franklin and Martin Luther King Jr. and wound through the Detroit streets to Cobo Hall. This event provided the prototype for the later March on Washington. Before Dr. King spoke at the rally at Cobo Hall, there was entertainment, including Ramsey Lewis and Dinah Washington. It was during his speech in Detroit that Dr. King first stated, "This afternoon I have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream," words which would figure so prominently in our American history. He used those famous lines several months later at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. This is DJ Rick. You are listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, on Vashon Island, Washington, and streaming worldwide at voiceofvashon.org. In October of 1963, Dinah Washington attended Aretha's show at a Detroit nightclub and simply said, "That girl has got soul." A few months after that came the surprising news that Dinah Washington had died in her sleep at the age of 39, of an accidental overdose of sleeping pills and alcohol. At age 21, Aretha sang the gospel classic Precious Lord at Dinah's funeral at the New Bethel Baptist Church. Right after that service, Ted White suggested that Aretha should do a tribute album for Dinah Washington. He was sure that she could step into Dinah's shoes and become the next queen of the jukebox. Less than 2 months after Dinah's death, and a month after giving birth to Teddy White Jr., Aretha was in the studio. Next up, let's listen to the Dinah Washington tribute album.
What fruited bear bitter
That was Aretha's version of This Bitter Earth from the album Unforgettable, a tribute to Dinah Washington, released on Columbia Records in 1964. This Bitter Earth is a great song, going from the depth of depression to a final bloom of hope. It was a number one hit for Dinah Washington in 1960. And Aretha's singing is fantastic, but it is a song with a lyric that says, "Too soon we grow old." Aretha was just 22 years old at the time. And although it was Ted White's plan to use the Dinah Washington tribute album to make Aretha a commercial success, Columbia Records did not trust the material enough to release either of these songs as a single. Instead, the single that was released from the Unforgettable album was Soulville, backed with Evil Gal Blues, both of which we're going to hear next.
If you say hello, baby, I'm gonna give you the evil eye. I'm an evil guy.
Soulville did not chart, neither did Evil Gal Blues. In fact, in the choice to release these songs, Columbia Records went for the youth market, when the tribute album actually was a retrospective view, with most songs being several decades old. In spite of excellent reviews, the album did not chart either. By this time, Aretha had released 5 albums on Columbia Records. The only album that charted at all reached only 69 on the pop albums chart. In other words, despite her intent to cross over and the best efforts of Aretha, her husband and manager Ted White, and the very professional producers, arrangers, and engineers at Columbia Records, she had not been at all successful in reaching a broad audience. Earlier, John Hammond had turned over his role as Aretha's producer to Robert Mercy. Mercy was then hugely successful producing hits for Barbra Streisand and others. But Bob Mercy had been frustrated with Aretha's lack of success. So Columbia Records again turned Aretha over to a new producer, Clyde Otis, who had been previously successful producing duets with Dinah Washington and Brooke Benton. The next song was the result of the collaboration with producer Clyde Otis.
Sweet, sweet bitter love, the taste still lingers, though through my helpless fingers, you slipped away. What joy you taught me, what pain you brought me, so short a stay.
That song was Sweet Bitter Love, written by Van McCoy, which appeared on the Running Out of Fools album, her 7th album on Columbia. Here's the title cut from the album, Running Out of Fools.
Sure you haven't got the wrong number. You sure it's me you want to talk to tonight? Everyone in town's got your number. Everybody's got you pegged right. Is that why you got in touch with me? I guess you must be running out of fools.
when you went and left me there crying. Your goodbye was even colder than ice. It didn't bother you, I was crying. And now you wanna break my heart twice. Is that why you got you forgot how I even look. So go ahead with all your sweet talking. Go ahead for all the good it can do. Have yourself a dime's worth of talking, and then I'm gonna hang right up on you.
Running Out of Fools was released as a single, but topped out at number 57 on the pop chart and number 61 on the R&B chart, clearly not finding much of an audience. On the Running Out of Fools album, she was all over the map stylistically. She covered the novelty hit Mockingbird by Inez and Charlie Fox, and the pop song Walk On By by Burt Bacharach and Hal David, which was a number one hit for Dionne Warwick earlier in 1964. The Shoop Shoop song It's In His Kiss, which was a number one hit for Betty Everett a few months previously. My Guy, which was a Motown song by Mary Wells, and also a smash hit 8 months before Aretha's version. She even followed the original Motown chart by Smokey Robinson. It is also curious to note that the photo of Aretha on the Running Out of Fools album cover shows her wearing a very simple white sleeveless dress. Her hair is processed to make it appear smooth, and her skin tone is considerably lighter in color than photos of her on her other Columbia albums. That is, in 1964, Aretha was desperate for a hit and was trying everything she could think of to cross over. It did not work. By this time, Ted White was furiously angry with Clyde Otis as Aretha's producer, and Clyde Otis was sure that Ted White was not helping Aretha's career by forcing her to record so many songs in so many styles so quickly in search of a hit. Columbia Records was considering not renewing Aretha's recording contract, but she owed them significant amounts of money they were attempting to recoup. And Ted White and Aretha were having problems in their relationship as well. Both of them were engaged in a prolonged period of professional and personal arguments. Aretha was depressed and missed many recording sessions without notice or excuse. Ted White was forcing Aretha to work, and according to Clyde Otis, Ted didn't hesitate slapping her around and didn't care who saw him do it. Furthermore, both Ted and Aretha were drinking heavily at this time as well. Etta James stated her opinion about Aretha's lack of success on Columbia as follows. Columbia didn't know nothing about crossing over. Let's go out with Aretha's second recording of Today I Sing the Blues from 1969.
Blues walked in this morning and circled around my lonely room. I didn't know why I had that sad and lonely feeling until my baby said, yesterday, this time I sang a love song, but today
in the blue.
Once again, that was the great song, Today I Sing the Blues. Aretha said I didn't do it right, though. I didn't do it justice when she recorded it for Columbia. But she sure did it justice when she recorded it at Atlantic Records, where she promptly became the Queen of Soul. The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, said in 1968 that soul doesn't need to be defined because it's a feeling. This is DJ Rick, and you have been listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on KVSH-FM. Thanks for listening.
Find out what it means to me.